Nabi, our leader, Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah Ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us, and we ask Allah Ta'ala to continuously shower His blessings on us and not to deny us, not to deprive us of any of His blessings. And we ask Allah to keep us aware and conscious of His blessings and help us to make shukr. The greatest link that anyone can have to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among the many links is that he continuously acknowledges the blessings of Allah and he makes shukr for it. So we should keep that practice up. Rare hadith in the week, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that before Qiyamah you will find people will come in the masjid and they will talk worldly matters. They are worldly matters, joking and talking. Stay away from them. Allah got no need for such people. Alhamdulillah, we hope our brothers are taking heed to those ahadith that we are mentioning here with regard to the sanctity and the respect of the masjid, because respect of the masjid is because of the respect of Allah. If we respect Allah, we will respect the house of Allah. People who come into the masjid, they want to be connected to Allah. They do not want to be disconnected and disassociated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we spoil their experience. So we're not supposed to do that. In different ways, people are trying to make dhikr, make dua and all that. And then you find other people who find no other place but the masjid to come and discuss their worldly things. Allah give us all hidayat. Respected friends and brothers, last week we spoke about an important ayat of the Quran in the light and in the background of the current political climate in our country. And from last week to this week, things have happened so fast. So many things have occurred nationally as well as abroad. As we speak now, there's so much of tension, so much of worry and concern with regard to what are things going to finally turn out to be, what is the outcome going to be. So it's only normal that it makes us worried. It's only normal that it makes us uncertain. And also to add to the uncertainty is this, that we don't know what is the cause of the problem. At some times you could say, okay, this has happened, we know this has happened because of this reason. If you look on the national front, those of us who are following the events, we don't know why whatever is happening is happening. With regard to the reshuffle, there are two and three and four different contradictory messages coming through the media and the social media and that, and somebody is saying it was right what the president did. Another one is saying it was wrong what the president did. Another one is saying the president must go. Another one is saying, no, the president must stay. So we on the ground here are so worried what is going to happen, and then we are worrying why did all this happen here. So it creates a great amount of concern about what is the actions of these people and what they have done, and now the mass movements that are taking place. We have to ask ourselves at this point in time, who is in charge of matters? Last week we mentioned Allah is the controller. Allah said, Qulillahumma malik al-mulk. Also, if you look on the international front, if you have to look at this week's event 2 or 3 days ago, the chemical attack in Idlib, in Syria, where a lot of refugees had run away from Aleppo and come here, and now there was a chemical attack. The pictures, the images are very, very horrific. And again, who did it? Russia said, we didn't do it. Syrian government said, we'll never do this to our own people and even to the terrorists, who they call us, they won't do it. The rebels are saying, you did it. America is saying, you did it. And everyone is saying, somebody did it. And there is an investigation taking place. And then we read this morning that, you know what, President Trump was very, very hurt to see the images of those poor children. And really, I also hurt, and you also were hurt to see how many children were affected, how they were gasping for breath, how they were suffering because of that sarin gas, that nerve gas that they had breathed. What it happened, not only children, so many people passed away in the process. So even Trump was hurt. But last week, Trump's coalition forces went to Western Mosul, and they bombed one neighborhood where they thought some of their so-called terrorists were hiding. And in the process, they hit a wrong target. 200 people were killed officially. The unofficial count from other media houses is that it's up to 500 civilians were killed. So Trump didn't get hurt last week, but this week he got hurt about something. And now he went and threw all of 59 Tomahawk missiles where? To some air base, knocked a few aeroplanes and all that, as if that is going to solve the problem out there. So why he did that again, Allah alone knows. What is the whole agenda? Something is not right. Something is not telling. So the crux of what I'm saying is so many events, we are in the dark and we don't know why and what are the agendas. It does create uncertainty. At this point in time, my respected friends and brothers, we have to ask ourselves that again, that if our minds and our hearts are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the knower, the controller, the absolute power of everything, then he is our true deity. He is our true Allah. He is our true God, as you want to say. He is our true ilah. No finance minister controls our rosy. Not the first one after 1994. Not the second one. Not the third one. And no one, no matter how good the present one was in his department, some say he was a very good administrator in the Department of Home Affairs, so he'll do a good job here. So our rosy will be okay, everything will be fine. My respected friends and brothers, no party, no president, no finance minister, no one actually has got control of or anything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Jummah Bayan is about that. We leave from here with ourselves connected very, very strongly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows and will want to happen is going to happen. And our minds must be connected to the real ilah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً, that some people have taken besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, آلِهَةً, ilah, deities. What's an ilah in Arabic? Ilah in Arabic, we translate it as an deity, or a god, if you want to call it. Some people say idols, whatever it is. It refers, ilah means that thing or that being towards which the mind and the heart of a person finds comfort, solace, support, safety, security. That person or entity or thing towards which the heart and the mind of a person finds comfort, safety, solace, security. So, where are we supposed to have our mind and heart totally rested and contented? To who? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It must not be that, okay, a very good president, everything will be okay. That person has come in America, he's good for the Muslims. Or this finance minister has come in, bad for us. This one has come in, good for us. Very good police commissioner, inshallah, everything will come right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that people have taken others as their ilah, thinking they are going to sort their problems and so forth. No, my respected brothers, they have been put there, they will do their duty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about these ilahs, these deities that people have declared and thought that they are going to help them out. What Allah says? We are Quran readers, my brothers. Allah says, لَا وَاتَّخَذُ مِن دُونِهِ آلِيَ لَا يَخْلُقُونَ شَيْئًا. They have not created one single thing. They can't create. They don't have the power because Allah is Khaliq. وَهُمْ يُخْلَقُونَ. They have been created. So if you yourself owe your creation and exist to someone else already, it shows that you are not in control. وَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا. These ilahs, these deities who you think are in power, Allah says they don't have power over saving themselves from any harm. وَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا. They do not have the power of even benefiting themselves. No. We are reciters of the Quran. This is our aqidah. This is our belief. This is tawheed. This is the oneness of Allah. That only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who does all these things. وَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ مَوْتًا وَلَا حَيَاتًا وَلَا نُشُورًا. Allah says these deities neither have any power to give life or death, or even to resurrect you for a second time. All that is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So having understood that, my respected friends and brothers, we are believers. We are mu'mineen. Believers in what? In who? In Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Believers that Allah is the creator, Allah is the sustainer, Allah is the provider, Allah is the protector, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the controller of everything. If we say we believe that, then we believe in Allah. Then we don't have to believe in anyone else. And whatever will happen, many of us are old enough to have seen so many worldly circuses and worldly shows coming and going. And those who were the main actors in there also came and they went away. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will finally, Allah's will finally prevailed. وَكَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ مَفْعُولًا. The will of Allah, the command of Allah is finally that what is decreed, that what happens, and no one else can do anything about that. So we are believers, alhamdulillah, my respected friends and brothers. Therefore, we ask ourselves, we are believers in Allah, and that being the case, we keep ourselves focused on our Allah. We keep ourselves focused to our spirituality, to our deen, to our a'mal, our actions, to our beautiful character, to our Islam, to all the beautiful things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقِيلَ لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا مَاذَا أَنزَلَ رَبُّكُمْ قَالُوا خَيْرًا. That it is said to the people of taqwa, what did your Allah reveal? If somebody asked us, what did Allah reveal? What is your book about? قَالُوا خَيْرًا. Goodness. And there will only be goodness if we adhere to this. This is called ta'alluq ma'allah. This is called connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as long as we, my respected friends and brothers, remain connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the world show will go on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, on account of our connection with Him, our belief in Him, our trust upon Him, and our minds being totally taking support from Him, we will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us there at all times. Now we give you an example, my respected friends and brothers. This is the ruh, this is the spirit of the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon those who believe. What? That they keep themselves connected to Allah. No other power is going to help us. No one gives us security except that what comes from Allah. وَمَن نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. So events will happen, it will make us worried. But our ta'alluq is with Allah, our connection is with Allah. And there is no help. And all help is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was an aspect that formed the ruh of the former Muslim rulers. To such an extent, even those Muslim rulers who had the worst and the darkest track record as rulers, even they acknowledge this to be the cause and the source of the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What? To be connected to Allah. And I give you an example. Hajjaj bin Yusuf Thaqafi. Bad man. Simple, straightforward, no other definition for him. If you look at the history of this particular person here, if you want to talk of a Muslim tyrant in the former times, then the name of Hajjaj bin Yusuf Thaqafi comes about, who was so oppressive and so tyrannous in his rule that he spared no one. If he had to kill Sahaba, he killed Sahaba, because if he felt they were opposed to him, he wasted no time. Openly or secretly, he had them eliminated. Pious ulama, sulaha, pious people, whoever it was, his number of murders and murderous conquests are innumerable. They are countless. In the Fazaili Amal, we read one story there, which is in dialogue form, Hajjaj and Sa'id, Hajjaj and Sa'id. Must let our children read that. And Sa'id al-Musayyib was such a great, great tabi'i, and now Hajjaj had him killed. So nevertheless, this Hajjaj, that is his background, his son-in-law is Muhammad bin Qasim al-Thaqafi. Muhammad bin Qasim, this name, we all know it. Muhammad bin Qasim is the man, the young man with the age of 17 or 18, entered what is now known as Pakistan. And he entered Sindh province. And he is amongst those people who was responsible for bringing Islam into the Indo-Pak subcontinent. There was no Pakistan at that time. So my respected friends and brothers, he's the son-in-law of Hajjaj. He was an extremely good human being, very compassionate, very good akhlaq. He was loved by the people who served under him. And even when he conquered the various areas, people, they loved him. They loved him. But obviously now it was his son-in-law. He was son-in-law of Hajjaj. And Hajjaj was his mamaji also. If you look at the history, his mamu. So now you can't choose family, as they say, you know. So nevertheless, Hajjaj, this man with such a blemished track record, writes a letter to his son-in-law. And this is what we want to draw our attention to. Forget about everything else, just this part. He says, make sure that you are punctual at your 5 salah. And make sure that when you are standing in salah, reciting the qiraat, making the takbir, making the ruku, making the sijda, you do it with full humility and concentration in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep your mind and your tongue forever connected to the dhikr and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only comes to those people who are connected to Him. And your victory and success depends on your connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, who's saying this? I just gave you a background and tell you many more things about Hajjaj. But the ruh of the Muslims at that time, which has been lost at this time, the soul of our good fortune and goodness and stability and all of that, is the help of Allah is connected to our link to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now let's move to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. A similar letter is written by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu when he assumes the post of Khilafat. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu writes a letter to all his governors. And what he says in that letter, إِنَّ أَهَمَّ أُمُورِكُمْ عِنْدِي الصَّلَاةِ, that the most important matter according to me in your affairs is your salah. And whoever destroys and neglects his salah and abuses his salah, then he will destroy and neglect all the other commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Put your salah right. And he gives an entire directive and rules with regard to how the believers should make their salah. Now somebody will say, hey, it's Maulana's. Let's come, like, Hajjaj has been used to talking like a Maulana now. Mali sahab, old bayan. So Umar radiallahu anhu, my brothers, who are Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, second Khalifa of Islam, about whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said such great things. And the world, when they're looking for some kind of stability and some kind of stern and proper ruler, the non-Muslim says the world need another Umar. Mahatma Gandhi, what he said. He said, if there are khilafats to be followed, it's the khilafat of Siddiq and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. Gandhi, Hindu fellow. He had to say this in one of his writings, in one of his sermons, that if there's a khilafat to be followed, that is, you know, a model that can bring stability, you take it from the khilafat of Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. So he is giving this type of guidance and this type of advice to his subjects, to his the people that are under him at that time, to his governors. Umar ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu conquered Egypt in those days when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was a khalifa. When Umar ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes to Alexandria, that place is still there, Alexandria, he comes there and he has sieged the place. And this siege, it extends to almost a month. And it was not something that the Muslims ever had encountered, where they had laid a siege and it lasted for so long. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is informed about it. And he does a diagnosis. Obviously, in any military conquest, sometimes, you know, when there is a lot of, there's a setback, even in this day and age, for the powers that might be, they will say, now what caused the setback? So they will say, maybe the terrain is not right, our equipment is not terrain friendly, or we don't have the proper men there, or whatever it may be, our strategy has to change. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Allah ta'ala has revealed, it is said up to 12 or 17, I'm not sure, verses of the Quran, which Umar radiallahu anhu suggested, and then the wahi came according to that. So his diagnosis was very good. And this is the whole thing, my brothers. Diagnosis. In this week, two people told me they were sick. And then they say the doctor misdiagnosed me. And if the doctor misdiagnoses, then he's going to give the wrong treatment. So the fellow got more sick. How often haven't we heard this? Doctors misdiagnose. Allah guide the end of the doctor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them. So the doctor, this fellow says, I got more sick. Then after they picked it up, this was not the problem, this was the problem. So if we misdiagnose the cause, then the treatment also is going to be wrong. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu diagnosed the cause of why the Muslim army is taking so long. Same thing, the crux of this talk here. He says to Umar ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, it seems that the awe and the desire of the wealth and the power of Cairo and of Egypt has entered into your heart. You're thinking those are the great things. That is why Allah Ta'ala is holding back His help and assistance from you. This Friday, this Jummah, you stand up in public And with everyone there, you pick up your hands and you make a public repentance in front of Allah Ta'ala, and let them also make tawbah and turn your heart and your hands and tell Allah Ta'ala you are sorry. And then turn your heart back to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Forget about these worldly things. That was the diagnosis and that was the treatment. After the Jummah Salah, not even 2 or 3 days, Alhamdulillah, Alexandria was conquered by the Muslim army under the leadership of Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So what we are saying, my respected friends and brothers, is that these are the things that are happening around us. These are the causes and these are the treatments. We as believers, we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can do whatever we want to. We're not saying we must not make an effort in the worldly field. Many times we feel, you know, Muslims are degenerating and deteriorating because, you know, economically we're not right. We need to build up more educational institutes and we need to sort out our economy and we need to have more medical institutes and technologically and this and that, whichever way it might be. We need to fix up all that. But that is not necessarily what is the problem. In fact, in most cases, we can have the best qualified engineers and architects and professional people, but if they do not have connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Muslim problem will not be solved. We can go into any hospital and in any institution and see Muhammad, Ibrahim, Qasim, Faisal, all Muslim names and say, mashallah, the Muslims are ruling here. But is Islam in the hearts of those people? So is Islam in the hearts of those mu'mineen who are making so much of worldly advancement and worldly progress? If Iman and Islam is not there, if connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not there, then we will progress in all those fields. But as far as the help of Allah ta'ala coming down, as far as having stability, as far as having a good, proper, normal life is concerned, is not going to happen. The help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only comes when tasbiru wa tattaqu. If you got sabr, you withhold yourself from wrong, and you have sabr and you exercise restraint in times of difficulty, wa tattaqu, and you are conscious and connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la yadurrukum kaiduhum shay'a. Allah is talking to us in the Quran like today's matters that are happening. Allah says, ya ayu answers ya. They will not be able to harm you in any way. No one can harm us, my brothers. Alhamdulillah. In that regard, we also are aware next week is the ijtima taking place in Lodium, which is the fikr about increasing and solidifying our iman and making an effort to come closer to Allah, to gain the recognition of Allah, to bring a'mal of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to bring the sunnah and all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us and in our lives, so that we can get what we are looking for from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala says, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ. Those people who oppose and disobey the orders and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must watch out, أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ, that they are not overtaken by an affliction. What are the afflictions of this ummah? The afflictions of this ummah are natural catastrophes, earthquakes, tyrant rulers, murder and killing and the rest of it. These are the afflictions that will take over this ummah when the orders and the commands of Allah ta'ala are broken. Allah is talking to us in the Quran. Let us relate to it. Let us match up the events around there. Let us see myself, how well am I doing in as far as fulfilling the orders and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerned. And from there we will find all our answers. May Allah ta'ala protect us. All of us, we need to do one thing, my brothers. Pick up our hands in humility and sincerity and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep our country and generally the whole Muslim world in good stead and stable.